Okay. Some thoughts come to mind. Some thoughts drawn in part from one of my blogs a couple, three, 4 weeks ago. Some recent thoughts and whatever, and I just kind of threw some things together. Some things that I think need to be said, ought to be said. And I'm not trying to beat up on anybody or tell anybody else what they ought to do. You ought to believe the word. Now, my application and interpretation sometimes, if you think that's a little bit off, well, that's okay, too. You deal with that. My point this morning, and we talked about trust and obey, my point this morning is trust in God, not in man. Trust in God, not in man. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 146 in verse 3, said, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Don't trust in princes. Don't trust in mere men. They die, and they go back to dust. And in the light of that, you know, we're all our minds are, you know, what's coming up. Not only the coming elections, the aftermath, and what's to follow those things. And again, I understand folks who think they got to get behind the, I don't know what else to call it, the lesser of two evils. Or I think the great evil as opposed to the even greater evil, from my perspective. I can't agree with it, but I understand. And I didn't always understand some things that I think I understand now. I used to participate in national elections a long time ago. The last time I voted for a major candidate, I don't know, I must have been before the election of George Herbert W. Bush, because I voted for Beau Greitz against him. And then every other time after that, I either voted for Ron Paul if he was running, or else I voted for Jefferson Davis. I could do that in conscience. I couldn't do anything else in conscience. And here we get, you know, you gotta look for the lesser of two evils. The great evil as opposed to even greater evil. I understand that. I really do. I mean, I'm not judging folks and saying they're evil and wicked people if they go vote. Well, if they vote for the Dems, I mean, those people are just obviously, overtly anti-God, anti-Christian communists. How could someone who even pretends to be a Christian, and I think, you know, Christians, as the Lord teaches us some things, we'll refrain from some of the others, but you know, someone who's for murdering babies. I mean, overtly. Listen, the Republicans brought that to us. 6 out of the 9 justices that voted for Roe v. Wade were Republicans. And since then, we've had Republican majorities and all these other things, and nothing's changed. Don't listen to what these people tell you. They want you to vote for them. And, you know, we come to what I call the Orange Obama in the White House. And, you know, you have a couple different perspectives relative to him. You've got the true believers. I mean, there's folks out there that think he's almost the second coming. I see all these pictures they portray of, you know, Superman with a Trump head on it. And you know, all these other, it's like, I mean, these folks are true believers. I don't know why. I don't know what they believe in. And then, again, there's the pragmatists. And I don't want to be unkind, but that's kind of another way of just saying the situational ethicists, you know. It's an application of situational ethics. This past week, I've had folks not happy with me. And the past several weeks, had a fellow tell me, I think it was last week, that I'm not really a Christian, you know, because I'm not voting for the lesser of the two evils. Regardless, I'm not inclined to vote for evil. And in my mind, you know, the fellow who's in the White House now has established that he's a liberal New York Yankee heathen. And so, I won't participate. He's shown he has no foundation. You know, he'll act. He has made one person very close to me a felon, and he's working on making them a felon a couple other times over, you know. And I won't go into any more detail. But, you know, his view of gun laws, his view of my constitutional rights, his view of my God-given rights. He said, well, he's better than the rest of them. Yeah, so he thinks he can infringe on your God-given rights just a little bit. But that's not good enough for me. I mean, someone doesn't have to agree with me 100% down the line. But there has to be a basis. There has to be a foundation that our rights come from God, not from the government, not from the president, not from the Supreme Court. They come from God. I had my comments deleted on more than one supposedly Confederate group, you know, because I wasn't going along with the flow. If you're a Confederate, you're supposed to vote for the folks who are from the party of Lincoln. How does that work? And someone who is himself virtually a Lincoln worshiper. Before inauguration, they had great family inauguration photos taken down at the Lincoln Monument. Monument, but inside it tells you it's a temple. Well, as we've been saying, you know, to have remembrances and markers and monuments to our ancestors is one thing, but to set them up and call it a temple, that's another thing. But, you know, tell me that's not idolatry if you want. Anyway, by the grace of God, I intend to continue to speak the truth as the Lord has allowed me to understand it. And I don't claim to have a corner on all truth and to understand all things. Folks will have to make up their own minds and their own determinations come Tuesday. Some of y'all probably already made up your mind and already done. That's between you and the Lord. But I want to make us think about a little bit of things, and I don't have time to go into details on all this. I've mentioned very much over the past few weeks, you know, to my mind keeps coming Sarah. You know, God said, I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to give you and Abraham a child. And Sarah was like, this ain't working out very good. I don't think God's paying attention, and he hadn't given me a child. I need to help God out a little bit. So I had my husband go into my handmaiden. How did that work out? We're still dealing with that. Ishmael and the Arabs. Or, you know, King David. The man after God's own heart. But, you know, and we talked before about how the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant, and David said, you know, we need to restore it. They'd gotten it back, but it wasn't where it belonged. And David said, we're going to restore it. So they put it on a cart, just like the Philistines had brought it back to them, because the Philistines didn't like it too much, because, you know, God put all those plagues on them. They said, I don't think we want this Ark thing. And they brought it back, but David said, I'm going to restore it back where it belongs, into the tabernacle. And he put it on a cart. That's the way the Philistines had brought it. But that isn't how God told the Israelites to move it. He said the Levites were to bear it on their shoulders. So it's on a cart, and it's rolling along, and it starts getting bumpy, and it starts swaying back and forth, and it looks like it's going to fall over, and Uzzah puts his hand out to stop it, and God kills him. God's got this, you see. God's going to accomplish his perfect will. And we ought to do our duty. We should trust and obey. Trust and obey. And I could go on and on. You know, Saul, when he was out there facing the Philistines and so forth, and Samuel was supposed to come and offer sacrifice, and Samuel wasn't showing up. Saul said, well, I know what, I'll just have to do what I got to do. I'll just make the sacrifice myself. That didn't work out very good. Look at the northern and southern kingdoms of Judah and Israel, and the problems that went forth back and forth there, and the affinity they made, and the intermarriage between the apostate folks in the north and the folks in the south. How come it always works out? Anyway. Those ugly alliances that God had told him to avoid. But they didn't. They never learned. I just think of the one particular instance with Jehoshaphat, who was otherwise a decent king. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, will thou go with me to battle in Gilead, Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, which of course is the northern kingdom, which had apostatized as opposed to the southern kingdom, which was called Judah at that time. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I'm as thou art. My people as thy people. My horses as thy horses. The way they would say that today, you can't turn on the television without hearing it. We're all in this together, right? So, he said, we're all in this together. We're all the same. But they weren't supposed to be, and they weren't. And that didn't work out good. And I'm not, again, Lord knows I'm not judging others. I know how often I come up so short. But I think I need to say some of these things. God is sovereign, and he will accomplish all his purposes, and he doesn't need your stinking help. Now, that doesn't mean we're not to obey. We're to obey his revealed will. And if we obey his revealed will, he allows us to enter into what he's doing. But if we start looking to say, well, this ain't working out so good. I think God needs my help a little bit. I need to, you know, promote the lesser evil so that things are going to turn out all right. They don't ever turn out all right, at least from anything I've seen in Scripture. Don't be worried about Tuesday's election. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. God is still on the throne. Even if Kamala Harris is in the White House, he's still on the throne. Then I realize from the human perspective, it kind of disturbs us, makes us sick, but it shouldn't make us frightened. And it shouldn't make us compromise. God shall do his will. Trust God. Do your duty. Again, that's his revealed will. I realize we all have a tendency to fall into pragmatism. That's the human state, you know, situational ethics to justify doing this or that. And it's like, you know, when we do that, we're starting to claim we're omniscient. You know, we know the end from the beginning. We know what we got to do, even if it isn't right in accordance with God's revealed will. But we got to kind of work on this thing to make things turn out all right. God raises up evil men. From our human perspective, we may not quite understand that. We may not quite enjoy it. Passage we turn to often, and some others we turn to often, we'll look at. But Romans 9, verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh. Well, he wasn't a nice guy. He enslaved Israel. He beat them. He persecuted them. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. God raised up Pharaoh. God raised up Hitler. God raised up all these folks throughout history. Doesn't mean that they're right. But I tell you what it does mean. It doesn't mean that we're to put our hand to it, that we're to join into it. God is sovereign. God is omnipotent. He can do that. He knows the end from the beginning. He can use evil men. But we can't. And when we do, again, we're crossing over and essentially saying, you know, we're omnipotent. We understand these things. But we're to simply, that song we sang, trust and obey. God raised up the Assyrians. And if you look and you read a lot of the Old Testament prophets, and several of them kind of boil down to the prophets saying to God, why do the bad guys win? You say, why do you use these people who are a lot worse than us to punish us? What in their business? Isaiah 10 verse 5. Oh, Assyrian! Vile, wicked people. God says, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil, to take the prey, to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Why did the bad guys win? At least from our perspective. Because God ordained it. Because God decreed it. And I've had these discussions again with some of my primitive Baptist brethren, you know, who don't believe in absolute. Some of the primitives are absoluters, but a lot of them aren't. They're conditionalists. It's like, you know, God's determined who's going to save, and everything else is kind of up for grabs. No, it's not. And they'll bring up things to me. They'll say, you know, some little child that gets molested or this. They say, was that God's decree? Well, no, they'll bring up the ugliest thing they can think. Well, I'm going to tell you what the most vile crime in all of history was: the crucifixion of the Son of God. How do you explain that? Well, Acts 2 verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Folks, we're accountable. We're responsible. Those folks did what had been decreed, but they did it because they wanted to.
That's right.
They were accountable. They were responsible. It was wicked hands that did it. I was reading a thing. I should have printed it out, but it talked about Joseph and the children of Israel and some other things, and it said, you know, if I'd have been there and had it, said I would have pulled Joseph out of that pit and set him free. But then what would have happened? Right? God had a reason for Joseph to be down in that pit, which was ultimately going to save his brethren and the whole nation of Israel. But, you know, we've got our ways. We got our ideas to say, well, that's not good for Joseph to be in a pit. We'll take him out. Well, God's will is going to be done. And again, we don't have to know the end from the beginning. We don't have to try to figure this stuff out. We just have to trust and obey. Obey his revealed will. Do what he's told you to do. God is absolutely sovereign, and he is absolutely predestinated. Listen to me, all things. I know, you know, we get off in our human flesh and whatever, and it's sometimes, you know, We need to stop and set back and say, wait, this too is the hand of God. He's used wicked men to accomplish his will. The psalmist says in Psalm 76:10, a great verse, comforting verse, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee." Man do the worst he can, it's going to praise God. "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee." And the rest of that verse, which shows us really the condition of man. "The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain." You say, well, God made him do it. No, it would be even worse. "And the remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain." That's the condition of totally depraved, fallen man. Whatever evil he does is within God's providence and will only come to God's glory. But if he were actually left on his own, he would do even worse. So there's no doubt that God raises up evil men, that he uses them for his own glory, and he uses them for the ultimate good of his chosen people. That passage over in Romans 8:28. You know, even the Arminians like to quote this verse. But Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Paul says, "We know." Oh, how do we know? Does Paul know the end from the beginning? No, he knows God is absolutely sovereign, and that God is absolutely good, and that he loves his people with an everlasting and eternal love. And so Paul can say, he's not claiming omniscience, but he knows the one who is omniscient. He's not claiming omnipotence, but he knows the one who is omnipotent. And so Paul says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." We didn't call ourselves. He called us. That brother who visited here with us, and he is definitely not from a sovereign grace background. And he's talking about Jack Hiles and some of these other folks. But he's willing to listen and learn. He was talking to me on the phone this week. He was like, he said he'd been reading. Hey, I think he has to go to the library to get access to us. But he's been reading, and he just says that one passage that's just kind of in his mind right now keeps coming back. Is he says, you know, where Jesus said, told his disciples, "You haven't chosen me, but I chose you." I said, "That's pretty cool." Those who are the called according to his purpose, not our purpose. God uses all these things. And maybe somebody can correct me, but I can find no place in Scripture where we're called upon to advance and to support those individual wicked men. God may use them. And certainly if he does, it'll be for the good of his people. But I see no place where we're called upon to advance them, to support them, to promote them. We're not to join hands with them. And again, I'm saying, someone doesn't have to believe just like me. Because some of the stuff I believe is probably not right. But someone has to believe this book. Someone has to believe the principles of the book. Someone has to acknowledge a higher power and a higher standard. And I don't think any of these folks that are being contemplated to take up residence or keep residence in a White House or any of those things. Exodus verse 23, verse 1. "Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. That's it. You don't have to do this stuff. Don't join hands with the wicked. Proverbs, or succinctly says in Proverbs 1 and verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs 1 verse 15 says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Proverbs 4 verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. The bottom line, I think I find in Scripture, is that we're not justified in supporting evil, even the lesser evil, that good might come. And of course, that verse we know in Romans where Paul says, where he was accused of something concerning really the gospel, but he said, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. Let us do evil, that good may come. There's no good that comes from doing evil. Not for the individual Christian. God will work it for the good of his people. But there's no good. And even to those people who are doing it, there's no good. It's wicked hands. They'll be judged. The Lord said during his earthly ministry, you know, it must needs be that offense will come. You know, these things are ordained, they'll be. He said, but woe be to him by whose hand it comes. They're accountable. They're responsible. We are not sovereign. There's an old saying. It boils down to, I've come to understand two things in all my theology. First of all, there is a God. And secondly, I'm not him. If some of you are familiar with an old popular movie that was used in there, but it was a well-used saying a long time prior to that. That was from the movie Rudy, if you remember, where Rudy's trying to go to Notre Dame and talking to the priest and all that stuff. Even the Catholic priest with his on screen understood that. I've come to understand two things. There's a God, and I'm not him. He wasn't the first to say that, and that movie wasn't, but regardless. We are not sovereign. We are not omniscient. We cannot possibly know the end from the beginning. Except in those cases where God's kind of revealed some things in his written word. I mean, if you get over the book of Revelation, we don't have all the detail, but we know how it's going to end. Christ is going to win. We're going to be on the winning side. But other than that, we don't. You know, what is God's decreed will for tomorrow? I can't tell you that. What was God's decreed will for yesterday? What happened? And considering the turmoil and the election and all that's going to be going on Tuesday, or has in many cases already went on, I reflect on the words of General Lee, and I can identify with him. He was in the midst of a conflict, of a battle. Things were not going great for his country, the Confederacy in Virginia. General Lee said this, at present, I am not concerned with results. God's will ought to be our aim. And I'm quite contented that His design should be accomplished and not mine. God's will. Not our designs, not our will. God's will. I was reading this week. There's some black gal was given this full scholarship to VMI. $71,000 a year. And she does a video just smearing the namesake of that university, General Lee. You know, you give somebody something for nothing, and that's how they value it.
Right.
She had no comprehension, no understanding. And these folks would tear down men like this. We're called upon to obey the revealed will of God. And we're called upon to trust Him for the results. It's simply said, I understand, it's not always simply lived. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. Psalmist says in Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do what you're supposed to do. Don't try to figure it all out. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. One of General Jackson's favorite sayings was, duty is ours, consequences are God's. And that pretty well summarizes my understanding of things. I hope by the grace of God that I might be able to live up to that. Duty's mine, to obey His revealed will. Consequences, results are His. That's not my bailiwick. I don't know what's going to happen, or if I do this, this is going to happen. I don't know that. Then again, I saw this week at VMI, they are removing the statue of General Jackson. That stellar Christian general and testimony and witness. They're removing his statue because it offends some of the folks that they've allowed in. Well, I'm not opposed necessarily to allowing some of those folks in. I'm opposed to allowing women in, but that's another story. But I'm not opposed to allowing some of those women into VMI, or some of those folks into VMI, those blacks and all. But they want to destroy and pull down General Jackson? That's what we've come to. And we look about what's happening all about us. The Marxist cannot allow the witness of our Confederate forebears to endure. It is a witness and a testimony against the empire. You know, those flags of our fathers that they hate so much. They hate them so much because it's an example and it's an encouragement of standing against tyranny and standing against invasion and standing against collectivism and standing against godlessness. Well, they can't have that. You know, some of you unwashed masses might get the wrong ideas. So again, I encourage you all to think on these things. You all make your own decisions, and you should. I never aspired to be a cult leader. I think folks ought to hear and know, be presented with the truth, and allow the Lord to bring them where He would have with that. But I know I've considered these things. As best as I can, I'm not going to support the lesser of two evils. I'll support the best of two choices, or even the best of two imperfect choices, or sort of not in politics, I'm done with that. But anyway, but I'm not going to support evil. Most of these people acknowledge that they're supporting the lesser of two evils. And I got a problem with that. And that's why I won't be participating in the coming in national elections for the next American emperor and for my next supposed and pretended master. And as I said, I haven't done so for a long time now. And you'll do what the Lord leads you to do. But you can rest in Him. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things work together for good. This too is the hand of God. So I don't understand that. You don't have to. This too is the hand of God. And so, as the psalmist said, and I close on this, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do right. That's what that's about. Trust in the Lord and do what you've been told. Trust in the Lord and do His revealed will. That's all we have to be concerned with. Not about lessers of evils and doing this and that and what's going to happen if I do. No, trust in the Lord and do right. And I pray the Lord would encourage us to do that. And I know how imperfectly I managed to do that myself. We'll take our hymnals this morning and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 276, Wonderful Words of Life, 276. And you can stand if you like as we sing this out to the Lord this morning, 276. Father, we thank You for this day, the privilege to gather as Your people. Father, we thank You for Your revealed word, and we need not lean to our own understanding. And Father, I pray that You keep us from compromise and pragmatism. Help us, Lord, to trust and obey. Lord, to seek your will, knowing that it will be done. And to know, Lord, we only proper enter into that will as we obey it. Father, thank you for each one that's here. We pray for the needs represented. We pray that you watch over each one in the coming week and those that make their way home from here. Oh, we pray for those that need healing. Family that Brother Adam mentioned, his cousin, her husband, Brother Wayne's sister. Father, we can't comprehend or understand all these things, but we know that this too is the hand of God. We thank you, Lord, that we can be confident that all things work together for good to your chosen people, to those whom you've called. Father, give us strength and courage and discernment to stand in these, which are to us confused and convoluted times. And we just thank you, Lord, for the knowledge that you're working your perfect will. Father, we thank you for that love that spanned eternity, that was shed abroad upon your people before they were. We thank you for our Savior, that is all sufficient and completed atonement. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.